This is 90.9 WBUR. Good morning. I'm Bob Evans. Is Red Shoulder by the Boston musician Squirrel Flower. Her album, Born Swimming, was featured on WBUR's list of this year's best local releases, albums that managed to shine during a year that was difficult for many musicians. WBUR music critic Amelia Mason is here now to talk about some of the local music that stood out in 2020. Hi, Amelia. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Bob.
So, I know your list wasn't ranked, but was there a standout local album or artist for you this year?
Yeah, I'd say this was Anjimalee's year. Anjimalee is a Boston singer-songwriter. They've been getting a lot of local buzz and some national attention for a couple years, but this was really the breakout. They put out an album called Giver Taker, and it landed them on NPR's Best Albums of 2020 list. That's a really big deal for a local artist, and I do think the praise is really warranted. Giver Taker is a really big step forward for Anjimalee in terms of their sound. They took a lot of sonic risks, and the results are just really playful and creative and surprising. So one of my favorite songs on this album is called Maker, which Anjimalee wrote a few years ago in a moment when they were struggling with their gender identity. They identify now as transgender and non-binary. And they did record this song once before. It's very kind of quiet and stripped back style. But this new version, I think, really transforms it from a very contemplative song into something kind of transportive. So let's hear a little bit of that.
Oh, why don't you do?
Well, Amelia, that's very revealing about the struggle you're talking about.
Yeah, I think Anjimalee's work, a lot of it has been about struggle, but the great thing about their music, and I think what really works on this album, is they really managed to turn it into something kind of uplifting or at least beautiful.
So this was one album out of the eight that you included on your list. Were there themes that emerged this year in these best local albums?
Well, the list was actually crowdsourced. It was me and two other critics, Karen Muller and Charlie Rudell. So it was designed to reflect different tastes, which I really like. But I will say, this was a really strong year for Massachusetts hip hop. One of my very favorite albums was by a rapper and singer from Boston called Sean Wire. He moves very fluidly between rapping and singing, and he's just really emotive and has a lot of range. And he put out an album called Internal Dialect, which I just think is gorgeous. So let's hear a little bit from one of my favorite tracks called Origami.
She mastered the craft of origami, comparing this sense to a past and folded on me. Settle it down before we crash and burn. She mastered the craft of origami, comparing this as to a past and folded on me. Settle it down before we crash in the ditch.
I like that, Amelia. There's something about that for me is a little softer than what I normally hear in hip-hop.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of different kinds of hip-hop, and there's a huge range of what that genre might sound like. But I also think that Sean Wire's strength is really in his vulnerability, and I think you can really hear that in that song.
All right, so this was a very difficult year for musicians who lost a lot of work, a lot of money in the pandemic. What was the impact here on Massachusetts artists?
Yeah, I would say the impact was pretty disastrous. I think a lot of people don't realize that musicians really do make most of their income from touring. They don't make a lot of money from streaming royalties or even from selling albums. And of course, concerts were canceled and they are for who knows how long. So a lot of musicians are just plain out of work. And something I think you can see in our list is how much of a difference it really made for an artist if they had label support, you know, even just from a small label. And Jimily actually told me in an interview that getting signed to the indie label Father Daughter Records made a really big difference for them this year.
The, like, main asset that Father Daughter provided, besides, like, just being really good, like, kind of like industry mentors in a way, was publicity help and, like, contacts, because they just have a great reputation. They're just, like, very good folks who care about music and care about musicians, and they hooked me up with an awesome publicist.
I think artists with label or management support had a way better chance of keeping on track this year than those who are truly independent. And I also think that a lot of the music that came out in 2020 was actually recorded last year, so I'm a little apprehensive about 2021. I think that's where we might notice the absence of, you know, once promising up-and-comers.
Well, gee, that's a little scary. Is there any reason for hope?
Yeah, I mean, the good news is musicians don't need permission to create. You know, they're struggling to make money right now, but they're very innovative. They always find a way to write music and record music. And the other thing I'll say is this period really drove home how important it is to have social media savvy. You know, music discovery was already happening online, and I think the artists who were able to engage their audiences there, you know, had a really strong visual aesthetic, or, you know, who would put out frequent small offerings, like, you know, singles every couple months, they're the ones who really kept momentum through this fallow period.
So then, have you seen evidence that musicians are trying to become more media savvy then?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I think that's where you have to have skills. And I've seen some real creativity in the way people are engaging their audiences with, like, funny videos, or they'll go on Instagram and do a story where they ask questions from their audience, and then people will write in and they'll answer them. So there's a lot of very, like, personal kind of fan interaction, I think, happening online.
Okay, so Amelia, as we come to the end of our conversation here, why don't you play us out on something else from your list that you really like?
Sure. This is one of the more idiosyncratic examples. It's by this artist named Wendy Eisenberg. They're a very prolific young musician. They work in jazz and avant-garde, but also in kind of noisy experimental music. And they put out this album called Dehiscence right at the height of quarantine in April. It's very quiet and interior, and I think it really captures the strange isolation of that moment. So I would love to play us out on a song called History Time.
Okay, first, let me say thank you, WBUR critic Amelia Mason. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Future, every coming day isn't enough to prove to me it's possible, but I can see enough